Okay, there we go. We are going to call to order the BCA hearing, August 5th, 2024 at 7 p.m. We'll start with the agenda. And actually, I guess we should
No, sure.
start out with the
Organizational
organizational meeting.
motion to go ahead and sure. Thank you.
We've had a motion and a second for Glenn Travers as chair. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Glenn,
Thank
congratulations.
you
I'm
very much.
sure
I
you're
think
surprised.
that you're handing. Are we also going to elect the vice chair? Just
Yes.
oh, okay. Anyone, any motions? Come on, I'll make a motion to have Mr. Dorn vice chair. Right?
Okay, Vice Chair.
Thank you. We can close the nomination.
1-1, Jack 2. Okay, we have a nomination of Michael Doran Jr. as Vice Chair. And a second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Congratulations, Mike. You are the new Vice Chair.
Jeff here.
All right, we'll
And
turn
the
this over.
last little bit of organization stuff, do we have to approve the rules, operating rules that we already reapproved in 2022? Is that an annual thing?
Unless you want to, we can reapprove them if you want. It
No.
just kind of goes until we want to change them. I am of the belief.
So we'll entertain a motion to continue using the Board of Civil Authority rules and procedures that were accepted in 2022.
I'll make a motion to do so. I'll second.
And thank you,
All those.
Rich. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Good. Okay. So we can call the meeting to order. We need to start off by, I'm following the agenda that came out here. So I want to approve, I need a motion to approve the minutes of July 31st, 2023 as written.
I'll second that.
You make the motion?
Or I'll make the motion. I'll second.
Motion. Seconded by Rich. Any questions?
Have we seen them?
Well, they were on. I
They, I read them from
thought I had given them out, but maybe not.
I wasn't here, so
I read them all through 2 months.
I have a copy here, but
Here, yeah.
take a quick look at them.
Pass.
You passed them out.
Oh, okay.
Like
No, I don't.
no.
I had a copy.
Six.
The gist of the minutes were that we did a John Finley appeal and a Zachary Roberts appeal, and we also approved the voter checklist, and we changed number six in the polling place guidelines and approved that. That's what the minutes from the 31st have in them.
This is August 14th. I just like that. Some of the
Passing out
This is 14.
the minute of the 14th that we do next. We have questions.
I absolutely. Yep.
Clarification, are we handling these one at a time or
one at a time?
One at a time.
So the motion is for 31.
So we have a motion and a second for
July.
The minutes of July 31st, 2023. Are there any questions or comments on those minutes? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We just accepted those minutes. I'll now entertain a motion to accept the minutes of August 15th.
14th.
So moved.
Second. Sharing. Okay.
Questions, comments, omissions? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We just accepted the first minutes date. Okay. We're now at the portion where the appeal we're going to hear is the appeal from Moore's Auto and Manufacturing Homes, Karen Moore, parcel ID 23-01-12.01 and 23-01-31. And before we start that, we need the oath
for we need the oath.
People that are going to testify, the appellant and the listers to take it on.
Okay, the listers have taken their oath.
Okay.
The witness oath, under pains and penalties of perjury, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the evidence you give in this case under consideration shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Okay.
I'm going to have you sign this.
And while you're signing that, I'm supposed to ask if you received a copy of the rules and procedures about this process. And if you did, if there's any questions you have before we start.
Yes, I did get it.
Okay, thank you. Then next is, are there any BCA members here who need to disclose any conflict of interest or any ex parte communication? Well, that's good. So we're moving right along to, can the listers give us just a general introduction of the property that we're going to be discussing?
A description of the property?
Yep.
Right now it is land on Fairhaven Avenue. It is 0.68 acres contiguous. It has water to one of the parcels. So it's 2.3 acre parcels that are contiguous, meaning they touch on Fairhaven Avenue.
And what's
just from perspective, when you turn on Fairhaven Avenue, just on the left hand side, there were trailers there, but they're parking lot. And it's the former higher apartments.
Fairly. Does everyone know where Fairhaven Avenue is? Because I didn't know for years.
You're going
down. Yeah, I mean, I know, but I'm going
to
make sure. Yeah, I call it, yeah, most people just call it the dump road.
I'm staying away from it. But yes, and the current valuation for that is?
After the change of assessment, the current value is $53,900.
Hey. I'm sorry, 53?
53,900.
Okay. Thank you. So now I would like, do you have a question? Okay, go ahead.
You said there's water to one of the contiguous properties. Why is there just water?
There's one water square hookup to one of the lots.
When you say hookup, you mean in the street or it goes off the main into the lot?
It goes into the lot.
Okay.
But it's only to one property.
And the water and sewer are not available to be hooked up to the other piece of continuous land?
From what I understand, it is okay. Available to. It just hasn't been set up yet.
And it is not being, excuse me, it's not being taxed for water and sewer.
There is one water and sewer site improvement assessed.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I know if you have it available, you tax it as well, even if it's not hooked up. So,
good.
Thank you.
So next, what I'd like to do is ask the appellant, the Moore's Auto Manufacturing Home, to present. Sure. You might have to even present your case and any evidence you might have.
So my name's Karen Moore from Moore's Auto, pardon me, Beth. Y'all have a copy of my letter.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just begin with first that the lots have always been contiguous since it was, since it was Fairlawn Development. I think you guys have got that. You want one for your file? I know it's too old. Sorry. Yeah. And they've been in common ownership. I don't know how far back, but certainly back to 2008, which you can see on your lister's card. I think it's the first line in the notes. And it was a 0.6 acre parcel, two parcels, excuse me, but total of 0.6 acres. So it, on the color drawing, some are better than others, but you can see that the tax, the lister's office had put three of the 60-foot spaghetti lots as 12.1, and then one of the 60 as number 31. So there was three, and there was a mobile home on it and a shed, and then a single one. But they've always been contiguous. Pre-beyond the, you know, back to 2008. You can see in the circles, very faintly, 56, 57, 58, and 59, reading from the bottom up. Those are the original Fairlawn subdivision lot numbers. Those are referenced in deeds. And there's also some on West Street as well. But what we care about is what's in the dotted line. So the lots have always been contiguous, and they've always, or at least in the last known time, they've been under the same ownership. We bought them from the same owner. I know that Bianchi, back, 2000, if you had a small pre-existing lot that was contiguous to your buildable lot, adequate for zoning, setbacks, square footage, that little baby lot had to be absorbed into your adjacent lot because that was doing away with pre-existing non-conforming, non-complying lots. These have always been contiguous. They've always been merged. They've always been owned by the same person, at least since 2008. I didn't bother to go way back in the deeds. So my question to the listers was, why? Because now I've taken two of the original lots, number 56 and 57, and asked to make them a building lot, and number 58 and 59, and asked them to be a building lot. They're still contiguous, so I don't understand the difference why that equates to an increase in assessed value. No other changes have happened. All I asked to do was to municipally divide these four, 56, 57, 58, and 59, into two parcels so that we could put two affordable homes on. So that's part one, to get the municipal subdivision. And we had enough land. We can do the setbacks, all that stuff. And I was granted the municipal subdivision. In order to get the state subdivision, which even your municipal subdivision requires me to do, and I mentioned that also in my letter, the applicant's responsible to obtain any state of Vermont permits and approvals required by this locally permitted subdivision. So it's kind of a 1-2 punch. I get the local, but the local's nothing without getting the state. So I have my engineer here with me who started to get the state permits. What they care about is not so much setbacks and where are you going to park and how many square feet of the lot you're taking up. They care about water and sewer and that things are going to be helpful and safe for the homeowner as well as the municipality. So what he had to do was submit the forms to the state, and they want to know, well, what is the water service? How big is it? Where is it laid out? What's the sewer service? So I thought we were going to be doing okay. I had one lot that there was a manufactured home on until, if you look at your notes on the car, April 1, 2018, the 14x66 mobile home was removed. So at least there was a home on there in 2018. Now, so we do this for people. We sell land and home. And I thought, municipal service, this is good. This is, people want to live in Fairhaven, and this is going to be a good setup for people. Well, the more that we find out, because my engineer, Kevin, had questions back from the state that he then posed to water and sewer departments. And you can speak more eloquently to this, but the long and the short of it is they really don't have any records.
Yes, we do.
You do? Yay, because that's going to move us forward. What we were given, and I'm sorry I didn't bring a lot of copies of this, but I just got this from Kevin, but is a sketch from Mike LeDuc, the operator of the water plant, for the water, and it's showing coming off West.
I'm sorry. Would you like me to see if I can make some copies of that?
Because
we will call that Exhibit 2.
Yeah.
The first one is Exhibit 1.
Should I have labeled them?
Nope. We'll just know what we're referring to. I just wanted to record.
Well, what it shows, and she'll bring the drawing, is that from West Street, the water service comes and serves like the second lot east from the intersection. So it serves that one house, then it serves the house on the corner, seems to travel through their lot, serve our lot, the former mobile home, and then there's a note that it travels towards the dump, 310 plus or minus feet, to Donnie Jr.'s house. So, doesn't give us any size, which we need to satisfy the state. There's no easements recorded in any of the deeds we've been able to find. So, we're like, do we have municipal service or not? Is it sized properly to serve 2, 3, 4, 5 houses? Certainly, Mrs. Heyer, way down by the dump, has water and sewer. We don't have anything turned on at our property. But then those neighbors, the one on the corner and the one to the east of the corner, there's people living there. If it's only 3/4, it's not adequate. And the state's not going to approve it. We don't have any information about the sewer, but maybe you have the key to the castle. Because this was another reason why I felt that the increase in assessed value was inappropriate at this time. I'm at a standstill. I can't even put a shovel in the ground until we get the subdivision permit from the state, which it's a little bit of an oxymoron, but what they want to know is there going to be water and sewer supply in a helpful manner? Because if there's not, we don't let you subdivide that land. But I don't even know that I have water and sewer service for the original lot where Mr. Heyer Sr. lived and the home was removed years ago. I've taken pictures and stuff like that, but the state wants size of pipe, inverts, connections. So then when I was talking with the listers, I was like, we're kind of, you know, between a rock and a hard place, because this is a union town and you have municipal infrastructure that you want to protect. You don't want my guy going and digging up to see how big is that, you know, what's the slope. And I certainly can't go dig on these neighbors' properties, which it appears to run through. I don't even have an easement to repair. Like, how does this work? Usually when there's a situation like this that we run into, you have to have a maintenance agreement.
Easement
something. So I can't even do anything with a single lot, much less do my subdivision, until we get this figured out. So I was saying to the listers that when we're going forward, I'm ready for you to increase our assessed value. It'll be worth it. Right now, it's not worth it. Like, yeah, I see that I have, you know, 4,000 in site improvements for the water, 6,000 for the sewer. The landscaping maybe used to be nice, but it's really nothing now. But so anyway, those are the major reasons why we objected to the increase in the assessment. That it's not buildable. It's not developable now, legally. I may have a town subdivision, but that and 25 cents doesn't get us a nice one.
Did you happen to read the deeds, Karen?
Yes.
And there's no
easements.
Reference to easements.
No, no. I went back quite a bit, too, prior to Moral LLC, which is who we bought it from. We had Chris Ball working on this for us, and he's really knowledgeable about town stuff.
Theirs.
Thank you. So I appreciate you making a comment to that. I didn't have a photo thing. So if we look at the page like this, as if we're standing on West Street, so we've got a kind of landscape. And then you see where Fairhaven Avenue comes off at a 90 degree. All right, so now the Baker trailer, now or formerly the Baker trailer, and then to the east, the Monroe Trail. So you can see there's like a little dot, like a curb cut, coming from West Street, serving the Monroe trailer, snaking around. And it also has a little pigtail under the fence, serving the Baker trailer, and then travels toward the dump to serve Mr. Heyer Sr.'s home. And then you see a little note, very tiny, 310 feet to Don Heyer Jr., which I think is the current residence closest to the dump. So the more I find out, the more I think this... There was a very antiquated shutoff that I didn't even touch when I looked at the property. I pulled some ties, yeah.
And that was on?
It was on Mr. Heyer, our property now.
You probably didn't work.
I didn't try it.
You have to go back to the front ordinance, summertime, when Mike Fisher was chairman.
Yeah.
And then it was Bill Standard, myself, Jacques Sears, Dr. Alan Sears, the dentist. And we granted permission for that to exist in all three places, but not going down to the last trailer.
Not going down to Mississippi. For goodness sakes, now you say the summer, this past summer?
No, this is back.
Oh.
Back in the 80s.
In the 80s? Okay.
West Newman's put the, which is Mrs. Heyer's relative, but that did the digging for the water line.
So,
the extension of the water line, burning their walls and the Baker trailer out to where they are.
So, when the select board gave permission, did they require easements and stuff like that? Or Well, maybe there'd be some sizes. That's what I was afraid of, because that's not adequate for that number of families. Okay. Well, at least that's a start, because the water and sewer department have been very helpful, but they have gone through what they've gone through, and they do have a few other things in town to do besides research this project. So when you look at the picture, I begin to wonder if you see a little thing that says PP, property pin, where it elbows down to Mrs. Hires. Does that run along the property line? Is that in the right of way?
It's between Ernest Trailer and Bigger Room.
Yeah, do you know, does it lie in the right of way, or?
I have no idea where any right of way would be there.
Because that was.
You mean farther down the ferry than that?
Yes.
Fairhaven Avenue was accepted as a road by the
selectmen. Well, the reason I was asking that is that there's obviously we don't want to put Mrs. Hire down towards a dump in a bad situation either. And we want to be able to service the second child lot that we created. But I don't even know that the state's going to accept what we have on the parent lot when it's three-quarter copper. Well, this is Kevin Smith of Marble Valley Engineering.
The problem is the number of connections on the single service line. So we need some kind of direct evidence to document what the size, location, and the orientation of both the water and the sewer is. One thing I was told by the sewer superintendent, it was very helpful, but she was unable to find anything on Fairhaven Avenue and raised the question that it wasn't. It was a private road.
It's the town road that goes to the transfer station 5 year round.
It's on record.
So maybe she, to make the vote be true, maybe she meant that the utilities are on private land adjacent to the right of way. And that's important for me to know if I'm going to have somebody come out big to be able to ask, hey, what we have there, are we excavating into your right of way? Which I don't want to do.
Is it 55 foot on that side road, Ken?
I was so called.
55?
It's no more than a few rock road.
Okay.
So we could look that up too, though, and find out what the width is, because every year they report.
The way the ditches are on both sides of the road, that says two rock road.
Okay. And I remember the your town manager, when we got the subdivision permit, pointed out to us that the culvert to our lot was too small, that we have to redo that. And I said, yes, we're going to do that. But we're way back at just trying to even get the state subdivision permit. So for the purposes of you all tonight, and I appreciate the insight and the knowledge that you have of the other stuff.
I was on the select board at that time, and I was the recording secretary.
Well, I may have to take you out for dinner at the Fairhaven Inn and pick your brain, because you're our best shot so far. But for the purposes of tonight, that's why I'm reading the increased assessment, because nothing's changed, nothing's improved, nothing's likely to happen until I get the state subdivision permit. And then I'll move forward, you know.
The reason that the listers raised the prices because now we have two smaller lots. Than
so the reason
one big
why the assessment was changed.
That's why. Okay.
Is because there was the permit brought up by Moore's Auto to subdivide it because it was four little lots and
take was the same name.
Yeah. And okay. So they were going to make it into two larger
which
lots.
Makes it
same amount of land, just chopping it into two pieces as opposed to four. So my description of contiguous on the change of assessment letter, in my mind, was that's what we were doing, but it didn't go far enough to describe that they were, you know, they were permitted to and deeding to have two building lots. So that's where the change.
Did we have a purchase price?
Sure.
Yeah. The transfer was $35,000 in July of 2022.
For all four?
For the full properties. 26.
That lot that's currently got water on it, is
what?
This one we're talking about?
Yeah.
Is that one right there?
Right. No trail.
No trail.
But you see where the water comes from.
Yep.
So I don't think the state's going to sell and there's no use of them. They're going to
so
easement maintenance plan.
So bringing us back, it looks like we've do you have, we've done a little of the listeners responding to some of the information, but I want to make sure, have you shown us, is there anything else that you wanted to have us consider?
Not really, because it is a problem for us to solve with the water and sewer departments, and can we dig and not upset the union? Are we on your property? Are we, you know, can I dig on this neighbor's property, find out how big it is. All of those things are supporting my disagreeing that the property has increased in value. And with all respect to the listeners, and they've been wonderful, I don't have two buildable lots. I don't.
Only because you can't get water and sewer at this time.
Yeah, and I had said to them, I think that it's not right to increase my assessment. You know, I expect that later when we have done some development.
So when you increase the assessments, what was the value for one and with the water and sewer, and what was the value for the other with no water and sewer?
So the value of the property, the assessed value of the property before these deeds came through last summer, right, July of 2023, was $37,900.
Now that's four separate lots, correct? Or is that with the two?
It's
the whole
all land. Because yeah, it's owned by the same person or the same company or what have you, it is considered contiguous. Whether it's four small lots or now two large lots, it's all contiguous. It's all the same amount of land. It's now just deeded to be broken up into two pieces as opposed to
so you would look at it as one piece of land with water and sewer to it.
I would look at it as
before
deeded. Yeah, and as deeded now, it is two parcels of land with one water and sewer.
Okay.
How do we come up with the water and sewer being typical and average? We don't know what it is.
That's the way it was, John,
in
2008 when it was reassessed. Yeah.
Could I answer that? I can answer that question. It's town water and town sewer or septic sewer. So
they're
all unless you're I was there for the reappraisal, unless you're in a place that the water is a spring that seldom, yeah, that's where it comes from. This would be average and typical because almost everybody has it. So it's typical.
Say, I've only run into not average or typical on land that is served by something.
So one of those lots has typical size water supply and typical size sewer supply.
Right.
From the 10 foot.
And just to add a little bit of history, years later, when we ran water and sewer lines past homes that never had it, everyone had the same right to hook on at the same price.
Yeah.
Anything else you would like to present?
Yeah. Okay. Just not to, you know, push it to death, but if the service, if the water and sewer service, the municipal service went down Fairhaven Avenue, which is what I actually expected it to be, I have already paid my hookup things to your town manager to hook into the water and the sewer. For lot one, which is the parent lot, which already has water and sewer, it was less. But for lot two, which is the child lot, the new lot, the baby, it was a couple of thousand dollars. So I went ahead and did that in an effort to get going. Well, no one can tell us that we have water and sewer here. The more we find out, we have a telephone party line of water, and we don't know where the sewer is. So if those things are average and you can't know where they are, and there's nothing recorded in a land record book, I can't move forward. I want to. This is not my business to, you know what I mean? I'm not a contractor.
Do you have a, I'm sorry to interrupt, do you have a current value in your mind that it is worth in its present condition?
I was content with the previous assessment. Of course, now that I know more,
that's why I'm
I think, should I go back and read? But no, I was fine with the 37.9. But when it increased 16,000, I was like, Mother of Mercy, we're not even off the bag. We're not even up to bat yet.
You didn't have this information at the Lister's grievance, correct?
I did not have the thing from Kevin with the little telephone line of water and sewer, but then I talked to him after that and a little bit before, and I said, so what's with the sewer? And what he briefly told me was the departments are working on it, and I shared that with the listers, that they were working on it and doing their due diligence. They can't manufacture old books and notes and things like that. Like even on this drawing, the tie lines are to the house, which doesn't exist anymore, but that's not a hard thing to route out.
You could probably find it, shut off. Are there anything, we seem to be talking about the same stuff a little bit over and over. So in an effort to, are there any other questions?
I have a motion.
Okay.
I would move that the...
I'm sorry, I haven't even had the chance.
Right, everyone's got... Right, that's why I'm trying to get to where we can hear the other side. If there's no other questions for the appellate, then now the listers have an opportunity to take, and you can respond to the information that was presented, and you can also, after you do that, you can give us... Oh, you got you.
So I just want to reiterate that the reason for this change was because of the subdivision, the deeds that were done last year, brought to my attention in July of 2023, and that's when the property value, the property assessment took place. And in talking with Karen and getting information from her, I went to both Mike LeDuc and Joe Gunter to try to figure out information where the town was. I did get the same sketch from Mike with an email that he had sent to, I'm assuming, to you, Kevin, Mr. Smith.
This was prior to your first lister's decision?
This was after Ms. Moore came in for the grievance.
Okay.
Yeah.
You were unaware of all this.
I was unaware of all of this until
I understand.
I do know that there was quite a bit of research trying to figure out the lots before the deeds were done.
And Karen spoke with that when she spoke at the lister's hearing. About the work she had been doing and the work she'd been doing with the water department, the sewer department, to try to find things out, but at that time hadn't been able to find much out of it.
Yeah.
And so it was my understanding after talking with Mr. Gunter and Michael Duke that there were not town roadblocks in the way of proceeding to try to get water to the site. And they, you know, I haven't been privy to all the information.
You said you didn't think it was town roadblocks to get the water there?
That was my understanding in talking with Mr. Gunther and Mike LeDoux after Karen came in for the grievance hearing.
So then the problem began after you were finished working with the town of Fairhaven and you went the next step to get your water and sewer through the state.
Is it okay? Well, it's not really a hookup, but it's a subdivision permit that has to do with the hookups. And they require detailed information about...
But it was after you were all finished with the
town. The initial grievance.
Right.
No, I went to get a state permit last December, January. I'm working on that for a long time.
So was that brought up at Lister's grievance?
I don't know if I gave them a date, but I said that I had been trying to get the state permit, and necessary to that is what is the composition of the municipal system, which only the municipality can know.
But you didn't tell them that you couldn't get it at that.
I did.
Well, there was the discussion that she hadn't gotten it, and that she would. They were still trying.
They were active trying.
Yeah, to do it. Yeah.
Very collaborative. All along, it's been collaborative.
Yeah.
But I still don't have that. And I served on the board of aldermen in Rutland City. I know how busy your public works departments are. Something like this. If they've looked in their records, they've exhausted their search, and unless they're going to give you reason to say, give us another chance.
Well, we can make a hookup on one law. They are watched by, and that will perhaps illustrate the names of for us.
So we you know, it's exploratory. So how much do I ask of the town departments to say, find the lines? Can we dig safely? Can we, anyway?
Before you ask that question.
Not a question.
Okay.
It's a motion.
No, so before you make the motion, okay. Before you make the motion, what are you, as listers, are you submitting any exhibits into evidence?
I mean, the only exhibit that I have is the copy of the page 2 from the zoning application. Why don't you give that to me? And that was asking for the subdivision.
Would everyone like a copy? Copy 2. This is copy 2 of the...
And we'll call that Lister Exhibit 1. And it looks, like that the zoning permit was issued April 26th?
7th.
Well,
the record date is May 12th.
Well, what data was okay? I see.
27.
Yes, it was. Because that's what's
after April 1st to put it through anyway.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Can I also call in the packet that we have the town of Fairhaven tax discard? Can I call
cost report?
Lister Exhibit 2. That's the one where it said the value is
$53,900.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just want to try to get all of them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is
Number 2. Okay. Do any want, any of our board members have any other questions for the listeners?
Okay.
Do you, as the appellant, have anything to respond to from what was presented by the listeners?
No, I think that we are both looking at the same question from different ends, and it was after April 1st, so that's why it was triggered this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I understand when we do improve the property, or when I do have two buildable lots, is worth more than one pretty good size building lot. But right now I'm questioning if I even have a building lot. And I've been at this so long that my allocation with Joe Gunter expires in October. You know, I'm gonna have to start the same paperwork again. So it's not up to this board to solve this, but I hope this board can see that I feel it's not timely to have an increase in assessed value.
Ms. Rodgers, you have them.
And I'd like to preface my motion.
Definitely.
I would like to say before I make my motion that it seems to me that the listeners did everything properly, given the evidence and the situation as it was at the time of reading. However, with the information we all have tonight, I'd like to make a motion that the listed value be returned to what it was prior to the listers increasing it in the subdivision until such time as this situation is clarified, either positively or negatively, and as like so April 1st is coming, see what it is then, because it doesn't seem fair to me to charge for two lots if you can't actually get one lot with adequate sewer and water. This we're not. My understanding is we're not really sure.
Do I have a second for that motion?
So was the motion unclear? Because I've talked a lot.
I don't understand. I'll second that motion.
Okay. To return it to the...
Yes. And that allows us to get into discussion.
Yeah. I have discussion. According to the rules of the BCA, we have no choice but to set up a
inspection. I think that might ultimately, who knows where you're going to be, but I think that the process, and we should
stay. I planted the seed anyway.
But so can I ask you, are you going to withdraw your motion until after the inspection?
Certainly.
I'll withdraw it, second.
Thank you.
Director, is it Mrs. Moore? Mm-hmm. If you went back to when the fire got the zoning permit for that property, it'll give you a date and time for the correct the one or two.
So I'd have it be in the clerk's office for that in this select board minutes.
No.
Well, the land records are fine.
First with the zoning permit.
Yeah.
Give you a time frame to look at the select board minutes.
Now, okay, I'm gonna move on, and because the next step in the process is I need three people to be an inspection committee to go look at the property in question. Do I have any volunteers?
I will volunteer.
I'll volunteer.
So
we've got Cindy Adams and Rich Greeno and me, Danny Roberts.
Okay.
Do we have permission to have a lister go with us?
Okay, and Sharon will be the lister to go with you. While we're still talking, then we have everyone right here. Is there a date? Do you want to sit up here, or do you want so that helps us in doing the next part of when I recess this thing of when we can get back together? This one.
Next Monday night.
Okay. Yes, next Monday would work because the election's Tuesday, so Monday would be
all right.
We could do after what time? It's the 11th.
Monday. Next Monday, the 12th?
12th. Oh, yeah, it's the 13th. It's the. Would that work?
That's hard for me.
Okay, that's okay.
My daughter has been studying in Africa.
All right. Well, when's good for you? And
that's
then
we'll... a good thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any before or after that? I'm sorry, really? That election season.
Now. Oh, it's a Tuesday's out for me.
Would Thursday the 15th work for you?
Yeah.
Anybody else that it's bad for? Thank you.
Monday
the 12th is not
the
15th is out for me
because
of the conference.
Oh, yeah. Well, what time?
During the day.
What time are you usually there?
Yeah, in the morning.
What?
Yeah.
Are you?
I can only. I'm here. This. So
yeah.
But the 15th, if we could do it like maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I should be able to deal with that.
Yeah, it's fine.
2 o'clock?
2 o'clock?
I think it's 2.
Interesting. Yeah.
And we'll all meet down at the, down at the property.
Property?
We'll meet at the property?
Down there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
And yep. Are we going to set a...
So let's set a date for when the inspection committee is going to come back and talk to us. Could we do that the following Monday, the 19th? At 7 o'clock?
Day August 19th, 7 o'clock. That's
only because it looks like we got it right here on Monday. So,
yeah,
to hear the report from the inspection committee.
If for some reason the 19th isn't good, can even though I did the inspection, can I hand in my written decision?
Well, we'll have to meet at some point
before
that.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah,
okay. So we're going to tentatively have the report back on August 19th.
Ooh, that's awfully close.
Yep.
That's only a few days.
Because you got to
13.
13.
Uh-huh. That might
be within 30 days.
Huh?
Didn't make it within 30 days.
Well, heck yeah, you can do it.
Within it's in 30 days of this days meeting, after. Isn't it? Am I reading that wrong? I have my.
Yeah,
my favorite is not. Two weeks is about normal.
Well, 30 days after first hearing.
Which is today.
Today.
So we're still good.
Yeah. Can we put it out a week? I don't think I can turn. I don't know that. No, it doesn't.
26.
26.
26.
26
and the 26th is Monday.
Monday.
Is a Monday.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the calendar.
Yeah, 26 yes. And Monday. 26. So Monday the 26th.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just afraid is from the 15th to the 19th.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Person. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
And our meeting, our viewing is going to be 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock on the 15th.
Okay.
All right.
So with that, I'd like to recess this meeting until we meet again on Monday the 26th, 7 o'clock. Good. Thank you for coming on. Going to move us on to the second portion. And that is an abatement hearing. Thank you for being patient with the words.
All right, let me also switch gears. And I should have done this. Great, I'm gonna pass this on to you. And then you can pass this around. I didn't want to get myself too ahead of myself. Listeners, are you here as listeners?
I'm
be here.
You just whatever you want. You be a free spirit there, Jack.
I'm here as
JLP.
So
okay.
Yeah.
Are you here as listeners?
I am.
Okay, then I'm
because we have, I don't want to ask the question, I don't want to hear the answer to, but there is the quorum for what we just finished is just three. The quorum for abatement
is half.
The rules are you have to have a majority, three of the select board, which is good.
Yeah.
You need to have of the listers, which we only have two, the number of nine guests.
Highlighted.
Yeah. You tell me what I need to do.
Okay. I think the listers can participate to make the quorum to get the job done. So we might need you as a lister.
Let's see. How many
JPs do we have?
Well, I'm two things. I'm like everyone in town.
So we have five, so we do have a majority of the justice pieces. So that's why I'm saying I think as a lister that gives us the quorum and all three that we're supposed to have. I was thinking about that earlier, Sam. The tougher one is on the Bateman here, and he's having a quorum by statute.
All right. Now,
you have.
Oh. I am passing around somewhere. You signed it?
Okay, the oath that's still going around for a separate oath.
Separate. Can you sign that?
For Bateman.
Do you need a piece of paper? And we have Mr. Roshan. So I'm going to give you the oath. Swear you in. Under pains and perjury, under the pains and penalties of perjury, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the evidence you give in the case under consideration shall be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm going to have you sign this.
And we're going to do an organizational meeting where someone will nominate a chair for the abatement board. I have some done over again.
I nominate Glenn Travers.
Second.
See, that way you'll just do it all, Glenn, and it'll be just so much easier for everybody. Sharon. Anyone? Any other nominations? Don't jump. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Yeah.
I just wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, here. Let's call the meeting.
Do you want to do a vice?
Yeah, we can.
I mean, I don't want to tell you what to do, but.
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to do a vice? Let's do Mike Doran for vice chair. Just keep it all in the same family.
You like what you can. I got a second.
Okay. Did anyone? Who seconded it? Okay. Any other nominations? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We're going to, let's call this hearing order and start by, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the minutes from July 17th.
Do we have those?
While they're being handed out, let's see here. July 17th, 2023, we heard Richard Moss, Prospect Street Abatement, and we did three, Town of Fairhaven. No, we did four, Town of Fairhaven Abatements.
I'll move to approve the minutes from July 17th, 2023.
Okay, somebody give me a second, please. I don't know.
Rich is
Rich?
The second.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We have an abatement request from Wayne Roshan on 6 McCovey Drive, parcel ID 23.01.72 for overpayment of taxes, homestead rate not applied for homestead rate was correctly filed. So with that, Wayne, we'll let you.
So you've been very patient. I made a form that kind of breaks down the procedure
for the Board of Abatement, if anyone would like a copy of that.
Oh, sure.
The key piece to this being there are seven gates that the state requires, one of seven gates by which you can earn eligible for the abatement.
Yeah.
And you need to meet those gates.
And the BSA.
Exactly, yep.
No, John, I don't know if I can print you one too.
Okay.
It just formalizes that the whole process of looking at the evidence that presented. At the bottom of that first page, it lists the seven gates that we're looking at. And then any discussion you have with notes, and it's space there for notes.
Sure.
And Wayne, why don't you come right up here and we can I see you had quite a bit of stuff in the packet that you gave us, so we'll let you talk and I can get those with the...
So I got a form from the state which kind of prompted the question as to what was going on. Basically it showed the homestead value for my property was changed from zero to the assessed value of the property. Posed the question as to why that change came through and whatnot, and what that was going to do to my property taxes. So with a call to Joe, he pointed me to Sharon, and Sharon did a little bit of research for me, and then I did some own research on my own side. Through all the research, since I bought the property in 2020 after the April 1st deadline, so I knew I would have to finish out that year on the non-residential rate, at which point I didn't look at my property tax bill good enough, but I was continually charged every year, 21, 22, and 23, the non-residential rate, even though that is my primary residence and has been since day one. My request is to kind of ratchet back a little bit, and since I have filed the HS 122 form every year as part of my taxes, to have that non-residential rate reversed and the residential rate applied.
The form that we had that described what you just said right there, I'm calling it Exhibit 1. And of the seven on that form, of the seven areas you can look at when you're looking at abatement, it's what's checked is the taxes in which there's a mistake of the listers. Is the one you checked out?
Yes, a clerical error, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Something didn't get clicked when it got imported in from the States.
And the packet included was, did you give us the stuff here? Was this supplied by the
listers? This was supplied by the listers.
By the listers? Yeah. Okay, yeah. And then I want I want to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to share with?
I think all the documentation is there. As to forms filed at the right times of each year, and I will still continually charge the higher non-residential rate.
Mm-hmm.
Did you happen to bring any of your copies of what you sent to the state for your homestead?
The HS-122?
Your homestead request.
I can pull them up online.
I just thought that it might be happening close, since that's what it's in.
Well, we had finance.
Sure.
In the copies that you received,
right,
there's three of these looking copies. And at the bottom, which is why I printed these off, at the very bottom,
sure,
it says the SPAN number and then homestead filed, and it has the date that Mr. Roshan filed his homestead.
Each of the years that we're talking about. So
late years. So it's
the partial report.
Partial report. Yeah.
21. We only have 21 of these.
And then so look at the next. We're going to have a tax bill.
Tax bill.
Tax bill.
22.
And 4, 5.
23. 23.
So you have all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the interest of
I know whose paper is this? The Lister's?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Would like the can the Lister's respond to that? Am I understanding this correctly that it's an error, but the error you're saying happened because you filled the form out, sent it to the state,
and part
somehow
has.
Didn't.
So
maybe you can help me understand.
Actually, the error lies in Lister's office. Mr. Roshan files his taxes, and he also files his HS 122, as you can see. What I believe happened is that there are several instances in one of our computer programs where we check off that certain things belong on a homestead for tax assessment purposes. And there is one place, and I wish I really could, wish I could remember doing it specifically this spring. But I think what happened is I had looked back through and seen that Mr. Roshan hadn't filed his HS 122. And I went in and clicked that one other button that just pushed it out so that the tax bill would be assessed at the homestead rate as opposed to the non-homestead rate. And I know this doesn't make any sense to any of you, but I can go through 5 pages of Mr. Roshan or anybody's assessment information. And I can check yes on the homestead on all of them but one. And this one, which is called the valuation tab, if that is not checked as a homestead, which all I have to do is say, yes, it's a homestead, then it will not come through as homestead. And I believe that that's what happened. As soon as I saw that Mr. Roshan had filed his HS 122 this spring, again, I looked at the former and saw that he had been non-residential. And I think what I ended up doing was just going in and doing that valuation tab. And then all of a sudden, well, it was the change of assessment letter that prompted him to call the office. Because his question was, what does this do for my tax rate? Because it has been my homestead for the last 3 years, and I filed my correct paperwork. And so then going in, and it shows right in his file that it's been done.
So the current tax bill that came out is that one. First of all, I said, has the problem been fixed?
I did.
The state site for the property, the valuation tax for education, and I am being charged for free.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm just trying to, as the listeners are saying, you're not disputing, it was
not
a mistake made. So what we're really looking as an abatement, a board of abatement here is to, okay, it's been fixed. Is there, what can be done to make, if there was an overtax situation, what can be done to right the wrong? Is that what we're talking about here?
Credit toward next year's taxes.
It's one of the things
of the overpayment,
right? There's multiple. I read through the abatement step, and there's multiple things you can do. I didn't know if a credit makes,
would that be
is that acceptable, Wayne, or are you looking for?
I mean, I would like the
you'd like the money.
I'd like the check because I got stuff. I got to fix and deal with.
Sure.
And that's one of the options as well.
That's the one I think.
And I'm just saying, well, see, I'm not wanting to beat a dead horse. You're saying yes, it was a mistake, and yes, we need to fix it. Are we Are there any other questions? Yes, so.
Since we are talking about cash rebate, check rebate, are we talking about the 12% interest for him as well? Is that statutory?
I don't know what the rules are.
But I'll talk about the interest if it's that recent.
I know I reread the letter and he didn't ask for interest.
So we're good.
I don't know. I did not get the answer.
Not that it matters. I was asking, what is the amount of
overpayment? The amount of overpayment is
without interest
is $966.26.
And Wayne, is that the number you got? As far as you know, that number.
Yes, I've done my own calculations.
Sounds correct. And go ahead.
Do we have the power to say that the town's going to write a check?
I think we have any power we want.
Do we? We
took. Pretty simple. We took more money than we should have.
Yeah.
We should be able to give back more money. When I went through about abatement, we had very broad powers as this board of abatement. One of the things are we can.
It is within our power to abate. It is within our power to write a check.
Right.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I found was the first thing involved can only exercise those. The Board of Abatement can only exercise those powers specifically delegated by statute and cannot exceed those powers. So there is that. Now, as I look for some more,
there's my thing about the abatement.
Taxes from prior years. There's no limit as to how far a board of abatement may go when it abates taxes. The Board of Abatement may abate in whole or in part taxes from prior years so long as one of the statutory reasons for granting abatement applies. We've established that the mayor of the minister's office meets that statutory requirement. Board of Abatement can only abate interest and penalty. I'm going to read this and then we can. In 2012, the General Assembly amended 24 VSA to allow the Board of Abatement to, quote, abate in whole or part taxes, interest, or collection fees. Previously, the statute did not allow the Board of Abatement to abate only interest or collection fees. So, as I'm understanding, that doesn't apply because.
Right.
There was no collection fee that you needed to pay. So you're just talking about the tax and the
just
interest
the principal
is within our purview.
Yeah. That's cool.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Manner was what I was worried about. Somewhere in the back of my head from doing this over the years, I had credit stuck in my head. But if you're researching the statute, I haven't done that. So
there is I do know that the accounts receivable clerk sends out letters when there is an overpayment of taxes. And if it's over a certain amount for the year, then the owner has to decide whether it is applied to the taxes as a credit or it's.
You know what that line is?
And I have this.
I don't know exactly, but
it's not very large.
But it's not the same situation.
Nope.
Right.
Nope.
The board may order that any abatement as to an amount may order any abatement as to an amount or amounts already paid to be in the form of a refund or in the form of credit against tax for the
that amount. So with all that information,
so
I would entertain a motion.
I move that we write a check to the appellant for the amount of overage that he's paid to the town.
$966.26, and I would like to second.
Should we include the 3-year estates in that motion?
You're talking from
21 to 24?
23, 23.
Tax year 21, 22, 23,
and then 23. And no interest
is
involved. I'll ask our clerk, did you get
that motion? Yes, I did. I think.
Good.
And that was seconded by Sharon.
Seconded by Sharon. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Vote. Very good. We're sorry about any conclusions.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry
thank
about
you
this.
For being the
What's that?
Any relation to Roshan Vergone?
In Rolling?
Rainy Roshan Vergone?
Yeah, that's my dad's uncle, my great uncle. Yeah.
Did I get everybody?
Yeah, and all those. Yeah. All related. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Okay.
Okay. Now I only have one other item. Thank you. I only have one other item. Is there any other business? If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you, folks. I think we're done, and we ran a little over. I'll try to do better in the future.
Thank you, Glenn. That was oh wait a minute. Now how do I shut this off?
Oh, you stop.
Will you be present tomorrow night or not?
Oh, I will.